Sarai Bhante, we have five questions today. Question number one of five, general question. Dear Bhante, Bhante often tell us to give prominence to the knowledge we gain from practice rather than book knowledge or inferential knowledge. Can you please give us an example and explain a bit of a meditational experience or insight that we gain from mindfulness on breath or mindfulness on the walking process? With metta, that's the end of the question.
Yeah, say for example, you are practicing mindful walking and your foot is touching the ground. And at that time, assume that you recognize a tightness. So once you recognize tightness, assume now your book knowledge come forward and it will say, start talking, okay, this is the Patavidhatu. This is what you Buddha mentioned as the earth element. So there are other three elements also available, but that is not what I am experiencing now. What I am experiencing is the Patavidhatu, the earth element. Earth element characteristics are these things. Currently, you are experiencing only the hardness, but there are, various other characteristics are also available. Heaviness is also another characteristic. Lightness is also another characteristic. And, there's a very interesting sutta called Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta. There are huge explanation is available about the these elements, and the elements meditation is explained in the Satipatthana Sutta. So all what we have heard, all what we have listened to the Dhamma, what we have read in the books, it can come to the forward. Now you are not meditating. This is not what you are supposed to do. So this is where the book knowledge come front, and we basically have not given enough attention to the experiential knowledge. So experiential knowledge has to has to given enough prominence. Otherwise, mind starts talking. Mind starts interrupting. So the what we call as this book knowledge, Sutame Jnana, actually comes forward. Every time we need to maintain a very vigilant attention. Okay, the experiential knowledge should be given enough attention, given enough prominence, because otherwise you can't proceed. It's a kind of an interruption that we go through as a result of this interrupting thinking with respect to the book if we come across. Yeah.
Question number two of five. This is also a general question. Dear Venerable Sir, I had years of mindfulness practice and participated in multiple retreats before COVID. Last 2 years, I could not do much due to workplace and family matters and tried to keep in touch with the practice whenever I could. This program helped a lot as well and much merits for everyone involved. Having gone through years of practice and a substantial time of non-practice as well, I have observed that my innermost keles have not changed that much. While I'm in good touch with the mindfulness practice, these dormant defilements won't come out, and I feel calm, relaxed, and content. I have spent a meritorious life with very little cravings, lust, jealousy, anger, and negative mind states. When the good qualities of mindfulness practice wear off over a time period, I have observed excessive lust, jealousy, anger creep in like floodgates. Having seen both sides of the coin, now doubt comes into mind as if we are just bandaging the real problem. Appreciate Venerable Sir's advice. With metta, that's the end of the question.
Yeah, very interesting question and kind of a challenging question. So we may be continuing our practice, and of course we can't see a significant reduction in our defilements. So that's a kind of a complaint that we can receive, we can get, because we can't see a quick abandoning of lust. You can see the lust, and you can't see quick abandoning of anger. You can still get angry. And that anger, that lust is very prominent. But interesting thing is, now you can recognize lust as lust. You can recognize anger as anger. But you are not too much emotionally involved in too much thinking about it. Now, say for example, you are a person who is a romantic person. You like romance. So you think about him or you think about another one. and you are imagining about various situation, how you are hand, taking your hand and thinking and being, and you know, you are imagining so many things, and that is complete conceptual proliferation. It has somewhat stopped as a result of the practice, but you still can see the lust. So that is the core, actually. So previously, actually, we are assume that you are in a romantic situation. Underneath what is available is the lust, but it is being covered by that romantic sort of thoughts, icing of the cake. But now that has stopped, that has gone. But the root has come forward. Now the very, you know, the strong causes have come forward. Now you see that directly. It's amazing. So you can't even believe how can this much of lust was available in the mind? How much this much of anger available in the mind? How much this kind of defilements available in the mind? Because previously we were simply, you know, putting enough compassion, we are putting enough labels, we are putting icing and different ways that we do different augmentation to all that. But now that augmentation has abandoned. As a result of that, very naked defilements are visible. So we get discouraged to see all these defilements. Can't help. So this is what we were sort of developing all this far. Now, at least now we need to find a solution. What we can do is to recognize these defilements again and again through wisdom. Panyaya diswa diswa pahatamba. So again and again, Buddha highlights. So you need to recognize these defilements through wisdom. So don't be impatient. Don't sort of discourage. Slowly, slowly, try to recognize these defilements and not to follow what these defilements are suggesting. Now, say for example, lust arising, and lust may suggest, a lustful thought may suggest you to follow something. If you follow that, then you are again promoting that same lust, same defilement. Same latent tendency, the raga anusaya, we are again promoting. But from your side, once you recognize lust, now you need to abandon lust. So this is not an easy task. You need to understand, I mean, we can practice. When the defilements are there, how can we stop act according to that? So we have to go against the grain. Our lustful mind asks this and that. Our angry mind asks this and that, but at that moment, we have to restrain ourselves. We have to stop that old habit and have to take a different path. Then only we are weakening that latent tendency. Then only we are weakening that the defilement. That's the only path.
Question number 3 of 5. This is a Dhamma Saman question. I thought language plays a very important role for understanding, especially the Dhamma. Example, even in Buddha's time, Pali language was used to help understand the Dhamma. For example, in communication. Would I be correct, Bhante, in seeing that? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Yes, yes, definitely. Definitely, actually, the language is a very powerful tool. And that's why we are learning, that's why we are, you know, teaching and analyzing and discussing and all these things. Language is a very strong tool. But there may be situations that language can't explain your certain experience. Probably language may have its limitations. But anyway, we can make use of the language. Then only we can actually conduct a very good discussion or kind of trying to understand Buddha's teaching. Yes.
Question number 4 or 5.
Right.
Yeah. Question number 4 or 5. Dear Bhante, as novice practitioners, is it possible for us to stop stage 3 of your diagram shown today? Presume once one become an arahat, stage 2 can be controlled or conquered. Appreciate Bhante's explanation. With metta, that's the end of the question.
Yeah, I think we might not be able to completely stop, but at least we can minimize that to some extent. The thing is, yang vitakkiti tam papancheti, yam papancheti, ultimately will go through a completely overwhelmed state. So that overwhelming part we can minimize. Say, for example, you are in the walking path. Suppose you get distracted and you have distracted for 10 minutes, completely lost. But the practitioner can continue and he may experience, now I get lost, but not 10 minutes, but maybe 6 minutes. So that completely bewildered or completely deluded time become less and less, become shortened. Now maybe 7 minutes, now maybe 6 minutes, now maybe 5 minutes, now maybe 4 minutes, now maybe 2 minutes, now maybe 1 minute. So that means your proliferating tendency become less and less. On the other hand, your ability to be with the selected object, say your primary object, becomes more stronger. You can maintain your attention with the primary object for a longer period of time. So that indicates your strength is growing, mindfulness is growing, your attention is growing. On the other hand, that proliferating tendency is weakening. So this is the stages actually we can recognize as a beginner, or rather say as a practitioner, as we are moving forward in our practice. Okay.
Question number 5 of 5 is a general question. Dear Bhante, for my earlier question at the end part of your Dhamma talk, I understood partially that if one no asserts or no clings to stage 3, Prapanya, Sanya, Sankha, Samudaya, Charanti, all unskilled dates, it says, but I don't think that's what it's meant, will cease without any residue. What then? Does that mean we cannot stop stage 3 or control these proliferations?
No, that means we can stop. That's why Buddha indicates. So Buddha say, for a one person, he continue to proliferate. For another person, to the real practitioner, he has this capacity. He is not getting delighted. He is not getting attached. He is not getting involved. He is not getting adhered. As a result of that, all these conflicts, all these, you know, perplexities, all these doubts, all the latent tendencies are abandoned. That means possible. It's a very, very strong way of overcoming defilements, because we are not promoting that. We are not thinking in line with that. We are not obsessively thinking in a particular defilement according to that particular defilement. Rather, we stop thinking or abandon thinking and keep the mind fairly silent, quiet. So that itself, that very practice is a very powerful practice where it causes to abandon all the, or weaken all the defilements, weaken all the issues, weaken all the conflicts. So that is the important thing we need to understand. So this is a very interesting parameter. So abandoning of prapancha, minimizing of prapancha is a very strong reason for us to progress in our practice.
So, that is the end of the written questions. Ms. Bhante has the Kalalgoda program. We will end the program now.
Okay, yes, okay.
Yes, so to end the program.
Someone has raised the hand, we'll answer that question.
Answer that question, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, Hiranti, I have
unmuted. Thank you. Thank you, Bhante. Dhirwan Sarnai. Just want to ask a question. I live abroad, you know, in UK, and there are relatives in Sri Lanka. We have some things which are supposed to come to us, really, from the relatives. But if someone is trying to hide that and do something, if they want to have it, the way I have, my mind is saying is, just let them have it, because you don't want to argue and you don't want to lengthen your life, you see, samsara, by, you know, conflict with them. So I just want to know whether that is the right way, because I am okay. Even though I'm not, the way to end this samsara is to have, not have this type of arguments and fighting and all that. It's a mind-boggling exercise. So my view is that I just want from a, you know, person like yourself, some advice. Am I in the right way? Especially Papancha, all these will come into act if I do go into this scenario. Did you get the gist of the thing I'm trying to? Did you understand my?
I think. Yes. So basically, I can agree with you. So there are seven ways that Buddha explained that how one can abandon asavas, how one can abandon influxes. So one thing is this parivajjana pahatabba, where you are not getting involved unnecessary situations. You are minimizing that. Because if you participate, then as you have mentioned, so unnecessary questions, unnecessary conflicts, arguments, everything can happen. So you see the danger in that. As a result of that, you are, you know, not participating in that. Because you have seen the danger. If you are going to interact, then more troubles are there. So you see the danger, and as a result of that, you simply abandon. I don't need it. So let me maintain my clarity of the mind. Let me continue my practice. Not that interested. So I can agree with you.
Yeah. So I'm in the right thinking, because the ending samsara is my most important object in this life. If I can at least proceed a bit quicker.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you, Bhante. Dharwan Sarnai.
Someone can argue that from the economic point of view, you are losing. But it depends on what are your priorities. If your priority is to gather so many things and to become rich and, you know, then that's a different story.
Yeah.
But if your priorities are now different, then of course we can go through a different way. So we are going against the grain.
Correct, Bhante. Yeah, that's my view. Is the aggro of all that.
Correct.
Thank you, Dharwan Sarnai.
Correct. Yeah, Dharwan Sarnai.
So we will end the program now.
Yes. Okay.
To end the program, I would first like to thank Bhante for his valuable time, even with the busy schedule at the monastery. To all the supporters of this program, both seen and unseen, and to the participants for joining today to practice and share their questions. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu.
Dharwan Sarnai, sadhu.
Yeah, Dharwan Sarnai.
Dharwan Sarnai, Bhante.